Hello and welcome everybody to Melomancy Podcast. This is episode 95. My name is Dylan.
My name is Victim.
And I'm Rick.
And this is the first and only Value for Value podcast about video games. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing.
Yeah, better than AAA.
Yeah.
Better than Ubisoft, that's for fucking sure.
Yeah, Ubisoft is on the struggle bus at the moment. Isn't there... I think their investors are calling for them to go private now.
Yes,
actually,
that is something that I saw.
I don't take any joy in people like potentially losing their jobs or their livelihoods, but like Ubisoft is a scummy company with scummy executives that make bad decisions, and
well,
they're reaping what they sow.
Yeah, like for I'm gonna call in to focus the ancient text that is Glengarry Ross. Either close or hit the bricks. Like, you gotta, if you want to work here, close. Like, you gotta sell the fucking games. Like, if you're not selling games, why are you a video game company?
It's like, I don't know what they're thinking.
I mean, look, we're gonna talk about it a little bit later, but there's this thing, you might have heard of it, it's called DEI. And I'm not going to be like, oh, woe betide us is the DEI, but there is definitely some, like, chasing the golden goose that was going on, and I think they're in the middle of it still, because we've got Assassin's Creed getting ready to come up, and that is, like, that's going to happen.
I think the problem that Ubisoft is dealing with right now is people are kind of fed up with, like, the live service model and all of the, like, bullshit that not necessarily pioneered by Ubisoft, but is like exemplified by them, right? Like, yeah. For example, Star Wars Outlaws. I don't know if we covered this last time. Maybe we did.
I think we briefly covered it. Yeah.
Yeah, we briefly covered it. Last episode was a doozy. But when Star Wars Outlaws was released, there was a bonus mission that you could do if you paid the $110 version or higher.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was like a 10-minute like fetch quest.
Of course it was. Well, not only that, but the whole day one patch that they had to do, because so they're going.
We
to
did
call
talk
it
about that for
yeah,
sure.
I was gonna say, but that's part of it too, right? Like, they pay people paid however much extra money, probably like $100 for the early access edition. But let's be clear: if the game is early access, quote unquote, for 3 days in advance, that's not early access. That's the actual release date. You're paying to play it on time. Everybody else is having to wait 3 days.
I don't even understand why that's such a sought-after thing. Like okay,
money.
So that, no. For them, yes. I mean, but for the player, like, why would you pay that? Because the way I see it is like a single-player game, right? If I'm gonna get into a single-player game early, all that gives me is what? Now I get to wait the 3 days for my friends to catch up so I can talk about it without sounding like a fucking asshole. MMOs sometimes do it, or like online games will sometimes do it, but and that makes a little bit more sense, ahead of the curve. But that's what we call pay to win, and nobody likes that either.
Well, so but that's where it comes from. So people will pay to have access to something on time instead of waiting for 3 days. I mean, I'm not immune to it. I did it for Starfield. Like, straight up, I did. And I will do it for Elder Scrolls 6. I will never learn my lesson. Bethesda will take me to the back room and put me on my knees every time, and I will do it gladly.
But they don't even have to take me there. I'll be in there.
Right. And I'll talk shit about Todd as soon as I leave that room. Like, he didn't just take me over a barrel. Yeah. But whatever.
But I'm right there with you. I think Bethesda is one of those companies, too, that so many people grew up with them that I don't think they can literally... wrong in some people's eyes, even if they're going to bitch and moan about it later.
Well, right. Like, don't get me
wrong. I didn't play Starfield, but I'll be real. Every time I see people modding it, even though I know it wasn't the greatest game they've ever released, I'm still kind of tempted.
It's definitely the best Star Wars game out right now.
Fair.
Yeah, no, like, I did a playthrough recently of all Star Wars mod, and somehow... shooting stormtroopers instead of shooting generic security guys makes it way more fun. I don't know why.
way more interesting of a context behind it.
Yeah. Yeah, like, just a different veneer suddenly makes it more fun. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's a bit of an aside, but it's actually, like, I've been... I mean, Tree's been trying to get me to do YouTube more. So I've been thinking about different like topics I could potentially do. And one of the ones I was thinking about was the kind of the idea of like narrative versus gameplay. And I think that when we think of narrative, we think of like video game story, but in all reality, narrative is like, in a lot of ways, it's the glue that keeps things together. Like, whether or not you're shooting generic assholes or you're shooting stormtroopers. And I think that there's a lot of importance in that.
Hell, you could probably, weirdly, you know, grow an audience just explaining the plot of games. There's a lot of content out there like that. Because there's a lot of young people who don't have the context that we have.
Don't have the context or, you know, don't have the, like, shit. Actually, you know, weirdly, Yahtzee had a thing recently where, where he released a video. He's like, yeah, you know, there are a whole bunch of games out there that I will never play, but I greatly enjoy, you know, watching be played. Like, I miss the boat for one-on-one fighters because there's no way I can devote that kind of time in my life to get good at them now. Mm-hmm. But he's like, yeah, I really enjoy watching Guilty Gear, and you know what? Without context, I think it's better.
I mean, yeah, probably.
Like, you know, he talked about like the 9-foot-tall doctor with a bag on his head. Like, what the shit is that about? And he's like, I don't know, but it's fun to watch. But yeah, so like, and mine, you know, mine is actually this, you know, the last few years of AAA games. Like, I have no desire to play God of War, right? Like. But yeah, I am actively interested in watching the, you know, the cutscenes pushed together like a movie.
Yep. I've already had that binge.
You would enjoy a lot more if you did that because the gameplay's ass. I don't know how anyone sits through that.
I think we have mentioned it before, but I remember when someone's like, bro, how can somebody say this gameplay's ass? And then it's like 10 minutes of a dude juggling an infinite health enemy in the sky with the same like 5 rows of attacks. And it's just like, like, that might be technically cool if I knew what the fuck you were doing, but this just looks boring.
Yeah, like
when I watch Devil May Cry and I see Dante or Nero or whoever doing it, that looks funny. That's fun as fuck. That's like, oh shit, that looks impressive, because I don't see the same move twice maybe until like the ass end of the combo. But in God of War, it's just not the same game. It's not as cool.
Somehow, and also like the modern God of Wars, that. Like, the gameplay tone versus the story tone don't match, in my opinion.
That is true, too.
Because it is still, like, a beat-em-up for combat.
Yeah.
But, like, this is supposed to be adult, grown-up God of War, and, you know, he can punch his way through problems, he can hit them with a shield or whatever.
I think where God of War falls flat, new God of War anyway, is the stats, right? It doesn't matter how good you are at the game's combat, if your stats aren't up to par, you cannot take on difficult enemies until you come back later with better gear. Otherwise, you'll just be punching a meat shield, and it will be the most boring thing you've ever done.
Yeah, not only that, but like I think this has been brought up, and I may have brought it up on the podcast, but the amount of time spent in menus absolutely kills whatever flow the game does have.
Like, yeah.
Because, you know, Kratos is constantly out here comparing, you know, this loincloth does 5% more damage than this loincloth, but that second loincloth has way better stats. Overall, like, you know, it's just like the vague RPGification of all other games has really been a detriment in the long run, I think.
Yeah, I think in a large part just due to the fact that these devs don't actually know what the fucking RPG is. They woke up one morning and decided they'd be game developers, so. they got out of school and someone decided for them.
Right. Well, they were filling a hot seat. Like, the seat was already warm where they're sitting, and that's a big part of, like, you know, Microsoft did another round of layoffs. You know, Dylan told me it was Activision Blizzard. Sucks to suck. And I'm not out here going to be dancing on the graves of their jobs or whatever, but, like, they're almost certainly superfluous positions at this point. Like,
yeah, they said support, whatever the fuck that means, and corporate. So. Probably people who were, their jobs were long overdue, honestly, in a lot of ways.
So I think what happened is, so we have Microsoft, right?
Right.
They bought Activision Blizzard. Activision Blizzard wasn't planning on being purchased. It was a full-on company that they had planned to be long-term, right? They owned a lot of shit. Like, they owned ZeniMax. They own all this other stuff, right? So
absolutely.
They had a fully functioning and staffed support organization that handled, like, customer requests and tickets, right? Like, whether it be something trivial like a password reset that is for some reason not automated, or something as complicated as, hey, I need you to redeem a certain thing, or I got an error in your live service game, right?
Yeah,
and what
sense.
Have you. And Microsoft also has a comparable org. So they probably trained up everybody, moved the good talent from one team to another, and eliminated the rest. That happens in company mergers. You see this in the business world. I've seen it, not at my current place of employment, but at previous, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It happens all the time. This sounds like an actual restructuring, not we need to get rid of problematic people or whatever. I'm sure some problematic people, as they were, got in all of this too. But like,
might as well benefit where you can, right?
But that wasn't the goal here. The goal here was to cut the chaff, as it were.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily mean that these people had like a certain set of traits among them. Like, I know some people have been speculating that this is like the activist group of people, of employees, but I don't think Activision was really known for that. This is the Call of Duty people, remember?
Yeah, I made a joke about that, but yeah, you're right. No, Activision's not known about that. Like, Activision Blizzard, they're the Cosby Suite company.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they would risk that kind of backlash right now, honestly.
Oh, no, I was saying that they're the ones that made the jokes about Cosby Suite. They're the one that did the office crawl to that one woman. Yeah. Stole the breast milk out of the fridge, I think. I think this is that Activision Blizzard.
Oh, that's so wild.
Also, Overwatch, like, they made Juno. She's 100% Rule 34 bait.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of Overwatch, I want to talk about Concord a little bit again. So we gave Concord an entire section in our last episode. And
yeah, absolutely.
There's no update because I think by the time we were recording that last episode, they announced the shutdown, I think.
If they didn't, it is shutting down. It has shut down, more specifically.
Yeah, it has shut down. Everyone was refunded. I believe that was mentioned in our episode. If not, you're hearing it now, people in 2040 when this is long forgotten.
Yep.
What in the fuck's a Concord? Is that great?
It was a fart in the wind of history, but
unless they re-release it, in which case it's been watch for landmines out there.
I bring it up because this has been a publicity whiplash for PlayStation Sony right now, right? Because Concord was such a huge stinker, right? Then Astrobot releases. Astrobot is like mascot bait. Basically, there was a free game called Astro's Playroom that came with every PS5. It was a short little tech demo of a platforming game. Astrobot is a full $70 platforming game with the same character. It's got a bunch of old PlayStation properties that aren't first party anymore, like Jak and Daxter, because Microsoft owns that, which is funny. Or not Jak and Daxter, I'm thinking of Crash Bandicoot. But everybody was invited. It was like a Smash Bros. Event. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they had little Astrobot characters dressed up like all these PlayStation characters from time past. And everyone likes it. Everyone who's played it says it's amazing. There are a lot of journalists who are like, oh my god, this is my obvious pick for game of the year. That's crazy.
They haven't played Squirrel with a Gun yet.
Clearly.
Yeah.
I mean, not saying anything against Astro, because Astro clearly is like not just a competent game, but a well-made game.
Well, these poor journalists are locked in the basement writing a bunch of gloating articles about how great Concord actually is. Please buy it. And then they get a chance to review Astrobot because, obviously, the games media is heavily skewed in favor of Sony. So they're going to give everything Sony a lot of publicity. And they're probably really pleased that they get to review a good game. They don't have to lie. So yeah, sure, they might still be gloating a bit with their perfect scores, but like, how refreshing must it be for these poor souls to actually play a fun game instead of another like Dustborn, right? Like, it's probably a huge breath of fresh air. But Sony can't catch a break. As much as the journalists try to run defense for them, and they announced the PS5 Pro. Did you guys hear about that? I didn't talk about it in our prep in the show notes.
No, I know. Well, Vic and I both have joked about it.
Yeah, we've been talking about it.
So
okay,
and actually talking about Concord is very relevant because last episode we mentioned that in light of Concord being shut down, they also announced. I think it was last episode. If not, we talked about it on the sidelines. Sorry, everybody, for assuming we did it last episode. But they also announced in Japan that they were just raising the price of PS5s in general. They announced that, and it had to, like, they cited recent market trends, but, like, you know, the thing that pushed it, the, like, the needle over was Concord.
Right.
For that. And they also, the day before, because I caught this through some, just seeing, like, YouTube thumbnails, and then I looked it up on my own. The day before they did their announcement for the PS5 Pro, they raised the price of their controllers worldwide to, like, I think it's 70 USD now instead of 50, 60 USD or 50 USD.
But something like that. It raised it, yeah.
Yeah, they raised their price. I think it's, well, I think maybe it was $79.99. But you know what I mean. Like, it's, they raised the price of the controller the day before. They're like, hey, PS5 Pro, everybody.
Yeah.
They knew what they were doing. Oh, the announcement for it, too, was hot trash.
Like, yeah, everyone's been clowning on Sony because their announcement was fucking stupid. So, like, not only is this thing $200 more than a PS5, it offers very little.
It's literally but to play the same fucking games because they can't just obsolete the original one.
Well, it's even worse.
It gets worse than that.
Like, in the presentation, they only showed PS4 games, like The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered.
No, that's so stupid.
Well, why did they show PS4 games instead of PS5 games? Where's Stellar Blade? Where's Final Fantasy? I don't know.
Well, we know where Stellar Blade is. It's not allowed to be used for publicity because there's too much jiggle.
I guess.
Yeah.
They could
Women
have done
are pretty, and they can't do that.
They could have done Final Fantasy 15 or 16. It's hell, not gay 15 enough. Probably looks great as well. I mean, 15 was the best-looking PS4 game that there ever was.
I don't know. I think Spider-Man might give it a run for its money.
Fair.
That's why they use Spider-Man, but then they did, like, the most boring version, like, comparison they possibly could. Fucking traffic in the distance.
To be fair, they also showed, I think they did show, like, a comparison with Ratchet and Clank, the new one, which
with
did,
a crowd in the distance.
Which it did come with, or it is on PS5, but it's, like, it's also on PS4, so does it really count?
I mean, how many games are released PS5 only?
Stellar Blade.
Basically,
Final Fantasy. Those are my examples. It's like, well, yeah.
All. But basically, none of them are, like, even their first party games are released on PS5 because there just aren't enough PS5s out there for them to make their money back on any sort of development for PS5 only. It's
right.
Losing game.
We were actually talking about this the other night, too, where, like, one of the reasons why people are starting to believe that we'll probably never see another Bloodborne, despite the fact that Team Japan is basically gone, is that Demon's Souls remake or remaster, whatever the fuck you want to call it, it sold only 1.8 million. And you think, like, oh, that's really low, but then you get to think it was a launch title for the PS5 and did not have a PS4 version. That's normal. People would look at that and be like, ah, that's because the PS5 didn't sell all that great originally or had supply issues. But with how Sony's been lately, do they fully recognize that? Are they even thinking about it?
I don't think they care.
I truthfully don't think they care. It's probably the better way to look at it, yeah.
Like, they clearly do not care. I don't know what Sony's end goal is because what they're doing doesn't make sense.
Maybe they're looking for an excuse to get rid of their gaming side. I don't know.
I mean, it's not like their other side's making a shit ton of money either.
No, not really.
Yeah.
I think,
like, other than one Spider-Man movie every 4 years.
Yeah, that's about not, all they got really going.
Right. Like, maybe their electronics side, you know, their physical market is doing pretty well. I don't know. I'm not gonna judge all of Sony based off of their lackluster video game performances, but, like, they're trying super hard to make, like, video games that nobody wants work. Like, the Star Wars was a massive wet fart. Like, you know how it plays.
Yeah, all the footage is so damning. It looks really buggy.
Well, not even, like, it's an Ubisoft open world. You know how it plays. I heard there was one reviewer who was like, yeah, it plays like Fallout 3. I'm like, did we play the same Fallout 3? Like, even at, like, Fallout 3, yeah, it's not, like, an amazing game because it was an RPG first. Like, let's be real. Like, its gunplay was okay because it was an RPG first and foremost. Kay Vess, the character in Star Wars, she plays the same from beginning to end. Like, there's no change in her. And she's even got, like, and it's just like, I don't know.
Also, Fallout 3 is an entirely separate perspective. They are wildly different games. There's no way anyone makes that mistake.
Yeah, no, I saw it in, like, a reviewer, like, just because I don't remember who was reviewing it. I'm sorry, I'm quoting something I can't back up with anything, because I was just like, I don't understand. I'm like, I immediately was like, well, I'm done with this review. Like, I obviously can't follow through with this.
Thank you for letting me know that your review wasn't worth my time at the beginning.
Yeah, I was just like, well, no, that was still like 15 minutes into a 30-minute review where he's like, the game plays like Fallout 3, and I'm just like, did we play the same game? Because I, like, and I'm not, you know, again, I'm not dogging on the individual gameplay, because that, while the gameplay may be rote and boring, it's supposed, and, you know, you can read the reviews, like, a lot of, they dance around, like, gameplay. They'll say, like, this is the best Star Wars experience you can get. things like that.
And that, so, is some horse shit. I have it on good authority. excuse me. I have it on good authority that on Steam, you can purchase today The Force Unleashed Ultimate Sith Edition and have the greatest Star Wars experience that there's ever been. They are wrong. It's not Outlaws.
Can you still play Battlefield 2 as well?
Or, Battlefront.
Battlefront,
2.
Sorry, Battlefront.
The proper Battlefront 2.
Yeah, the 2005 version.
Yeah, the original one.
Though,
yeah.
I heard they did patch that new one. I don't know if it's worth your time. Yeah. Like, if you are a parent with small children like me, that game might interest you for your consoles. But if you are, you know, just a regular dude, like, just get the 2005 version on Steam, it's fine. Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm pretty certain, like, that's one of the best Star Wars experiences I've ever fucking had.
Also, Republic Commando, like, I wonder, I'm going to look at GOG.com, see if they have that for sale. I bet they do.
And for the record, for anyone wondering, we are fully aware that it's just fluff. They're saying it to hook people who don't know any better. But it's just, pointing out the lie is always fun.
Yeah, GOG.com has Republic Commando for $10.
Hey, there you go.
You know, what's funny about actually talking about the pointing out the lies, you know, they're like, what else do you want to talk about? Because Dylan knows there's something that I really want to talk about.
So, back to Sony, right? They just can't catch a break because of the PS5 Pro, right? With Concord, it's like, it's so over. And then, you know, Astrobot comes out and everyone fucking loves it. We're so back. We're so over again with the PS5 Pro. Like, holy shit. Like, and the discourse online has been wild. Like, people, you could spot Sony fanboys and bots if they actually liked what they saw, right? If you support what the PS5 Pro is offering, you need help. Like, this is not okay. There are people on fucking Twitter, they cannot be fucking real. Like, they have to be fucking fake.
Bro, I saw Jeff's tweet, and I honestly, if it was some random account, I'd be like, you're a fucking idiot. Jeff saying it, I just feel bad. I feel pity. Knowing that he has to keep his job alive. He has to say that, even though I bet he knows. He knows full well what he's saying is bullshit.
Which Jeff? Who are we talking about?
Jeff Keighley.
I was about to ask myself.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the Dorito Pope. Yeah, he made a post where he posted the prices of previous PlayStation consoles adjusted for inflation. And it makes the PS5 Pro seem less expensive. However,
it's funny because a lot of those older consoles were overpriced at the time. I love how people always conveniently forget about that fact.
Well, also, like, yeah, at the time, the PS3 was the most expensive console on the market ever. Ever released. Yeah.
And adjusted for inflation, it is still number one. However,
and they were still losing money every time they sold one.
Like, yeah. Well, the Dorito Pope fails to point out here.
Oh, but they gained a lot of money in other
games. Yeah. It was their game. Like, they were banking on the games, and they're still trying to do that without games. Anyways, Dorito Pope. Yeah.
So, what the Dorito Pope leaves out, right, is that the PS5 Pro does not come with a disc drive. The disc drive is detachable and sold separately. Same with the vertical stand. Mm-hmm. So, that's dumb. The vertical stand's like $80, so is the disc drive. Like, why?
Oh, I'm sure the stand's going up in price.
Anyways. Oh, yeah, probably.
I'm actually glad that they did the disc drive, because I think one of the things that a lot of people, or one of the issues they ran into, the same issue I ran into, is it was like, hey, I got a PS5. It's the discless version. Do you want it? It's like, well, I might be waiting a couple months to get one, or a year, or however fucking long. So it's like, I'll buy it.
What I think they would have done, and this would have gone over really well, won them a lot of favor, and the disc drive is, like, actually very cheap
piece of machinery at this point in time.
That is an issue, yeah.
Yeah, it's inflated in price because only their disk drive works.
Right. That, yeah, that's
until,
the other
you know,
issue.
Through software.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, it, but my point is, like, would if they wanted to get a bunch of goodwill back, is if they had a disk drive that came with it that was a separate piece. So you could have the sleek bottle, but also, if you want, there's a disk drive. So, say you want to play your backwards compatible PS4 game.
Yeah.
That didn't have a, also have a PS5 release. Oh.
Like, you know, Bloodborne.
No, what is this Bloodborne you speak of?
I'll forever be salty. It's okay.
Yeah, as you should. But yeah, that's so like Sony's just like taking L's, but and they're trying to claw their way back, but they're just not.
It just keeps getting worse, right? Like,
right, because like we know Assassin's Creed's coming, and they and we already know that they're lying about it with the like pre-order numbers are great. This is also an Ubisoft thing, not just a
Sony thing. Yeah, but I know. So with Xbox, right? Because the games media has such a heavy Sony bias, we covered this in our last episode. It's very obvious, right? It's like a lot of the Xbox fans are coming out of the woodwork. Like, man, you guys are having a hard time, and it's like. It must be really easy to be an Xbox fan right now. Honestly, they must be thrilled to hear this.
Well,
right?
I mean, that's because we're so far away from Redfall.
Yeah.
And all the studio closures. Like,
rest in peace, Arcane.
If this was 6 months ago, this would just be L's across the board.
Yeah. But then again, Microsoft did just lay off a bunch of people from Blizzard. So, like, I mean...
They also haven't really done anything super spectacular this year either, have they?
Well,
they released a few games on PS5.
Yeah, I was gonna say, by not doing a whole lot of bad things, or by not doing a whole lot of things in general, they've also not done a whole lot of bad things.
That's a good point, yeah. I suppose sitting on your hands sometimes is the answer.
It really is. Like, again, Microsoft has, like, quote, console war. Microsoft won it. They already won it. Like, they are worth so much more. Like, they could petty cash buy Sony.
Sony showed up with guns. Fired off at Xbox, who didn't even realize they had come out. The bullets all ricocheted off of inanimate objects and killed all the fucking Sony soldiers.
I mean, mine is, like, because, like, my, like, the Xbox was a fancy for Bill Gates when he first dropped it. Like, he was just like, yeah, might as well make a console.
It's like, I can just do it. Why not?
So, with Xbox, right, they have the Series S, which has been a big burden on the industry. For making next-gen games work on the S as well as everything else. But they have the X. And it's
also,
like,
you know, as much we want to talk shit about the S, people are still making games for the PS4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
fair.
I mean, so, like, I feel like the S is just an excuse at this point.
Right. And so with Xbox, right, they could do the funniest thing ever and just, like, sunset the S. And make a new certification, a new standard for the games. Like, maybe get a new box color label or something, right? And be like,
yeah,
this is for X only. And then move on. And just tell the S owners they need to upgrade. It's basically a PS4 now. You know what? The Xbox fans would probably eat it up because a lot of people, myself included, only got the S because the X wasn't available.
And
that's literally the same deal with me with the PS5. I only got the digital because I couldn't get the fucking...
At the end of the day... Your S can just be a streaming machine with your Games Pass.
Yeah, and through Games Pass streaming, you can play these fictitious X-certified games that I'm thinking of, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And then that could be...
Absolutely.
It's like, they had the PS5 Pro all along. It's a Series X, which has great stats.
Yeah, I mean, and, like, the PS5 Pro isn't that much better.
Yeah. But like,
actually insulting. Like, yeah. You know what? If it was priced the same as a PS5, it would be an okay upgrade to just buy if you didn't already have a PS5.
Well, right.
But
well,
if you
honestly,
already own one, there's literally zero reason.
Some games look worse. Like, they look blurry because they're using some software they call PSSR.
AI filtering. Yeah.
Yeah, they call it Pisser. PSSR.
Yeah,
I forget.
Pisser, yeah.
I forget what
I mean,
the,
it doesn't matter what it's supposed to say. It's Pisser forever now.
Yeah, it's Pisser.
The PSSR, you mean? Our Sony.
It smooths out the frame rate. So, like, a lot of the side-by-side they were showing, like, it's really apparent with the Ratchet and Clank one, where they show Ratchet, like, doing that sideways flip jump that he does, right? And it was, like, it was way fucking smoother on the PS5 Pro, but it was like an AI upscaled software bullshit thing, not a hardware acceleration thing.
Yep.
Right.
Well, right. And so like, this is one of those things where it's like, they could learn a few things from like, I don't know, animation, like actual animation. Like if you pause animation during like a fight scene and stuff, sometimes things just look really fucky, like a super elongated arm or just not fully drawn in because it, you know, shows motion by doing this.
I think they call it smear frames, if memory serves.
I'm not going to
something like that
to know what I'm talking about other than having once seen a video on this and like show, and like obviously there are exceptions, like, you know, some animation studios are so above and beyond, every still is a screensaver or a desktop background, if you will. I don't know if screensavers even exist anymore.
Little shafts and neophotable. They sometimes don't, but yeah.
But yeah, but like, they could learn a few things from that, because like, while you want everything to be smooth and all that and look good anyways, like, there's a reason back in, you know, the olden days, say, Sonic the Hedgehog, why his feet were just a circle when he ran.
Yep.
It represents what you need it to represent, and kind of looks cool.
Everybody understood. We all were fully like, yep, nope, yep, exactly, uh-huh.
And obviously a lot of it is like limitations, but it's something that a lot of the, you know, upscaled Sonics have also managed to do. Like Sonic Mania, if I'm not mistaken, does that, which is I think the most recent 2D Sonic, experience. So yeah,
it's easier in those situations too, though. In a game that's 3D in a 3D environment, doing that stuff is actually really difficult.
I imagine, but
to a point that I don't even think it's really worth doing in the modern day.
Well, like, but you could get away with doing something like with, you know, like Dylan was talking about, like a common animation, like the side jump or whatever, right? Like the little, was it like a little like cartwheel or something, midair cartwheel or some shit?
I think it's like a front flip, right?
I don't know what it is.
It's been a bit, but
well, but he does like a little side flip or whatever, right? Like he jumps to the side, like. If that somehow looks worse on the game that you're showcasing, then maybe you should take another look at the thing that you're using. Like, in this case, the upscale, AI upscaler, the pisser. But, like, we have solutions to these problems. I talked about this with, like, the fucking Borderlands movie. Like, we have solutions to the problems that they have. Like, be it, you know, we're going to digitally remove the arm of the extra that's in the scene, or we're just going to have one of the characters be off screen, you know, do a quick reshoot, have one of the characters be off screen, and then walk around and pretend that was their arm in the screen. That easy.
Yeah.
Like, we've got a digital solution and we have a physical solution. Both are easier than taking an L from your fan base.
Wait, why is that space behind him all blurry all of a sudden? You still see his fingers clip in at the bottom because they didn't get it clearly.
Movie magic.
Yeah, obviously sometimes movie magic needs a little bit of help. But
no, but yeah, I get you though. It's just
I mean, don't worry. For the Borderlands movie, even if they tried to fix it, they would have fucked it up somehow. And I'm gonna hold off my judgment on the Minecraft movie. But man, does that look like a pile of shit to me already?
We haven't talked about that, and I don't know if we really want to. But I'm gonna say it. I want to say it somewhere where it's recorded. I'm gonna see the movie. I know it looks like shit. I agree. I'm with everybody. I'm not delusional. But I think it's gonna be so bad it's good. And I don't. I grew up loving Jack Black, so I don't know, man.
Look, you know, there are two schools of thought. Or schools of rock here. Jack Black. One is, you know, school of rock itself. You know, Jack Black used to make a lot of really fucking good movies. Two, you're only as good as your last performance, and his last performance was Claptrap.
Yeah. To be fair, though, Claptrap, I fucking hate Claptrap. I don't think I could have seen him do a good one, just
managed,
because doing a good one would also be doing a bad one
for
me.
They managed to dumb down Claptrap even further, though.
Like,
His comedy was the equivalent of, well, that happened.
Yeah.
Like, Yeah, no.
Whoever got that role, it was a losing role from the get-go.
They could have just let AI handle it, and it would have probably gone over better.
I would have accepted it more because they wouldn't have potentially ruined an actor's career.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're just going to stick Jack Black in every video game movie now, I think. Because, you know, Chris Pratt is a little bit too Christian.
Yeah, somebody brought it up recently. It's just one of those moments where, like, it's the reason why Jim Carrey kind of settled on, like, kids' movies, too. A lot of these comedic actors are old, and really the only thing they want to do is make movies for their kids.
Well, yeah, Jim Carrey, like, he was going to retire after the second Sonic movie, but they're like, hey, you want to come back for a third one? He's going to come back for a third one. He's even going to wear, like, a slimmed down version of the fat suit really go into the Dr. Eggman. And, you know, I'm here for it because that somehow Jim Carrey's ludicrous comedy works for that character.
There was a trailer for the new Sonic movie, and it was really fucking good. It really outshined the Minecraft movie trailer that came out around the same time.
Exactly. And that's, like, and they're doing, like, and they're not, you know, doing too many plot lines. Like, you know, they were pretty careful about that. They did, you know, the beginning plot line. They changed some things around. Sure, whatever. I don't care. It was an entertaining movie. The second movie, they're like, we did the Knuckles Master Emerald plot line. Changed some stuff around again. But you know what? Honestly,
they clearly understood the source material enough to change it to be appropriate for the movie.
Well, yeah. Let's be fair, too. Every iteration of Sonic changes it.
Well, what I was going to say about Sonic is Sonic's lore is gamified. And so they cut the chaff because movies can't bother, like, collecting seven emeralds would have been a chore, even if they did it for a montage, right? But instead, they're like, what if we just make the Master Emerald the only emerald that matters? Bam, done. Easy. And it works for a movie. It's easy to understand one MacGuffin. Well, it's not a MacGuffin. It's actually important. But
and by the end of the movie, it shattered. The rest of the emeralds showed up, and it was like, oh, I know what they're doing. I see it. Like,
yeah, exactly.
They didn't forget.
So they still paid homage. So
right, and so in the next one, it's going to be Shadow the Hedgehog, and honestly, I think they're doing a good job with it based off the trailers.
Yeah, like they got the Eggman Grandpa, the girl
Gerald. Yeah, Gerald Maria. Don't worry, right, I can recite all the Sonic lore you need me to.
Right. But they have it all. It's like it's present. Like
the poor actress they got to play Maria.
They obviously,
well, we know what's going to happen to her.
They obviously know Shadow's backstory. They're not just winging it like you'd expect from an older video game movie, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, they vaguely understand it, and they just make a pile of shit.
Yeah, so I'm honestly, that one I am looking forward to because, god damn it, we need some media wins. Like, we've had so precious few of them this year. Wait,
I have a media win. I have a media win.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So Let me tell you a story of trials, tribulations, and eventual success. So there was an expansion for Risk of Rain 2.
Oh yeah, that thing.
So
right.
It came out. I mentioned it briefly last episode because I'd only done one run at the time. Let me tell you the full story, right? So it came out. Seekers of the Storm DLC. The DLC, that's one thing. But to support the DLC, there was also an update. We know more about this now because it had problems and they've since been fixed. I'm really happy to report that they've been fixed, everything that I'm about to describe to you. So when the update came out, I think, Victim, you were the one that explained this to me. You had watched something that explained it. But so Gearbox and their infinite wisdom, right? So Seekers of the Storm DLC is Gearbox only. Hopo is out of the picture. The last game that Hopo made was Risk of Rain Returns, and then they moved on. In fact, the people that work at Hopo, they work at Valve now.
Yep.
Because that was a small indie company of like three dudes, right? That made Risk of Rain. Risk of Rain super popular. They made Risk of Rain 2 with Kickstarter money or some shit. I don't even remember. And that in early access, and then Gearbox bought them. And at the time, it seemed cool. And it seemed to be going in a good direction. But when Seekers of the Storm came out, everyone had a lot of doubt, right? Because it was a bit of a stinker, right? Some of the bugs were awful. Like, damage was tied to frame rate. And
even
enemy
though they
AI...
claimed... They, yes. That, Gearbox claimed in their fix that it was... People were erroneously assigning to that. But it's like, people dug through your code, man.
Like, yeah.
Gearbox, well, even more than that, they there was, like, side-by-side comparisons with everything
Gearbox,
in the game.
Yeah, Gearbox... that is something that I have to give the caveat to with the them fixing all the bugs. A lot of the bugs, they're like people were just getting it wrong. Like it was a bug, not what they said it was. Like
or an unintentional thing or whatever, right? Like
yeah.
They were their initial response was very corporate. However, in their patch notes, they were very transparent, right? So they no longer deny that that was a problem. So what actually had happened is in order to more expeditiously release the console versions of Risk of Rain 2, because that was a problem in the past, the two versions had a lot of drift, because they were totally different games that just resemble each other, right? So what they did was they took the code base for the console version and made that the PC version as well. So instead of being a PC game that was ported to console, it is now a console game that is ported to PC, which is a really interesting choice. But it's what enables them to actually like keep making the game so that they went with it. Now, there was the FPS bug. There was a whole slew of other bugs. And if you look it up, if you listen to this episode recent around the time of release, and you look up Risk of Rain 2 Seekers of the Storm, you're going to see a bunch of videos covering the bugs. They'll do a better job of explaining it than me, but trust me that there was a lot. The most egregious of which were the frame rate ones, and Acrid being busted, and
the main boss being unkillable.
Unkillable if he takes a certain item off of you during the "I'm taking all of your items" phase.
It was an interaction between two of the new items where basically if it couldn't update one of them, it just wouldn't update any of them anymore.
Yeah, which made him unkillable.
Honestly, I was always more the bugs were one thing, but I was also more interested in like the things people were unhappy with outside of the bugs, like that's the new elites.
I think that's full of shit, personally, because I did do a couple runs before I knew there were bugs, and I actually enjoyed my time. Right.
Well,
I think the new elites are kind of cool.
Though I definitely think there's one that may not be, which is the "I instantly kill you if you have AOE" one. Because it puts up a pain field around all of itself, and if you hit something in that pain field, it damages you, and your AOE will just instantly, like if you have any sort of automated build, it'll just instantly kill you.
I did see some people complaining about like just getting like one tapped moment they pop out.
Those elites. And I think the problem there is that, you know, it should just be the elite that reflects, not putting up a field of reflection. Because it would still be challenging.
Or even maybe if you're in the field, not... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but... And then, like, the gold one... The gold one, I'm hit or miss on.
The gold one's fine. The gold one, the barrier is brief. You see it, you stop shooting it, you prioritize other targets, the barrier goes away, you let him have it.
I think the problem with that one is, again, going to be the automation. Like if you're if you're pretty decently into a run and you've got a lot of fields of automation, I think that's going to fuck you real hard. So I think that's what people are getting at with the gameplay, where both these elites fuck up the gameplay loop. Is like the pre-established gameplay loop is to automate your character as much as possible.
Right. I don't know. I've played it. I've encountered those enemies. I didn't think it was that bad.
Okay.
I think some of that criticism might be a little bit overblown by some people who were salty that their god runs got ended. I don't think they're that egregious. But I will say, the new levels are amazing. It's the highlight of the update, for sure. Like, I really like the way they did the new levels. They're really cool to look at. I think the new final stage, where the new final boss is really cool. It starts off with like a jumping puzzle where you're dodging lightning. That was one of the bugs, actually. When the cutscene plays at the top of the tower, you're still getting struck by lightning. They fixed that.
That's pretty funny, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it wouldn't be funny if I was playing it and trying to complete the level, but in a vacuum, it's funny.
The boss fight was okay. It ain't Mithrix, but it's definitely better than the spider. The spider was just like, you can't even get close to it because it's too fucking strong. Whereas this guy is like a melee guy and he's like fun to fight. Speaking of, he's one of the new survivors. Once you beat him, he's playable. which is really cool. He's a new melee fighter that has like a bunch of like cool like ranged attacks. But unlike the mercenary, more similar to the loader, he strikes kind of slow, right? But I really enjoyed playing as the False Sun. He has a really cool mechanic where his mouse 2 shoots a little spike, and the number of spikes that you have in the chamber is based on a stat called growth, which is your health, right? So getting stakes, getting infusions, makes that number higher, also leveling up. So the more of those spikes you have on, you get one buff. I don't remember which one's which, but like one of them is like a movement speed and damage resistance, and the other one for all of the ammo depleted while depleted is like two other things that are similar. But like I like that, right? It was fun gameplay mechanics, and he has like a slam attack with his mace. It's like really cool. He's a fun melee fighter that's not like the other melee fighters. They have a win. I haven't played the Seeker yet. I don't really like the way her kit looks. She kind of reminds me of the Artificer, and I don't like Artificer either. So maybe you would like the Seeker.
She cannot do the things that Artificer can do.
She can't, but she does different things and has a similar gameplay style. Similar is kind of putting it lightly. Like, yeah, she can kind of fly, and she does a lot of like weird stuff, but like it's different weird stuff. I have not unlocked the Chef yet.
I have heard nothing but garbage about the Chef.
I don't think the Chef translates good to 3D.
That's basically what everybody says, is like Chef is a terrible addition because he just doesn't work.
Yeah.
They
did patch him to make him work a little bit better. They increased the range on his food pickups. But
that's something.
He's playable. He doesn't like suck, but he's not great. I definitely would rather play the False Sun. They released this thing. It was in a really awful state. Everyone was clowning on him for it. They fixed it surprisingly fast. I think, Victim, you and I both doubted them a lot.
I mean, I certainly would have doubted them for that.
Because
that's where my doubt came from. I was like, I don't think Gearbox gives a shit enough to fix it, at least in a timely fashion.
Yeah, but like the FPS bug sounded like a core like problem in their code base, right? Like, not something that can be easily fixed. However, they busted that shit out in like a couple days.
Yeah, it makes me question if they released it knowing it was bugged.
Yeah, or did they just not have a QA team? Like, I know QA matters a lot less in this world of internet and updates, but like I remember back in the day when you had to make the game perfect first and then ship it, like, because there was no patching. Like, I miss that. I miss that a lot. But I'm happy to say that Risk of Rain 2's update has been fixed and is absolutely playable. Some of the new stuff is pretty cool. The new maps is a highlight, including the three maps that take you to the boss. There's also some new maps in rotation. There's a new shrine where you can take for one stage only, a 30 health debuff. But it gives you and the rest of your squad a revive. That's really cool. Especially when you're dealing with insta-kill enemies. Like being able to revive, even if it's just for one stage, is pretty awesome. You can also revive the dead. Which is huge. But I really enjoy it. And I'm happy to see them like succeed. Like, they actually fixed it and it actually works, which is great.
Yeah. I mean, I'm obviously a little cynical that I feel like they shipped it broken on purpose and like, we'll fix it, you know, after it's already out. But that's just my that's just my cynicism shining through. Because that's definitely what it feels like to me, is like, they're just like, we'll fix it in post.
That yeah.
Attitude. I mean, you know what, I shouldn't. Even if they did fix it in post, as it were, they still fixed it. So, I should give them that credit.
But yeah, play Risk of Rain 2. I have another topic to discuss that's pretty funny. So, do you guys remember several episodes back when we were first covering all this DEI nonsense, right? And maybe we'll segue into another topic after this related, but do you remember when those stories first started breaking out when, like, the DEI detected, or I guess it was called SBI detected, Steam Group first got set up and caused a bunch of drama?
Yeah.
One of the blog sites that covered that drama, it was actually the first blog site to refer to it as, dare I say it, Gamergate 2. They literally said it. It's so cringy. But it was a blog site called Take This. Their avatar was like a little sword. And on their website, they claim to be like a mental health organization. Like they talk at gaming conventions and stuff. Like their whole spiel is mental health and gaming. Like that's what they do.
Yeah, yeah. They're the one that is funded by Department of Homeland Security, right?
Yes, they are directly funded by the Department of Homeland Security, but apparently not by much, because now they are begging online for a small loan of $80,000 to continue existing. So, like, I had never heard of them until they started stirring the pot. And now they face existential crisis. And it's like, damn, maybe karma is real. Like, you love to see it, I guess. Not cool that these people are losing their jobs, but, like they've done nothing but harm.
I'm starting to run out of patience for that, just in general. Not because I wish people to lose their jobs, but, they didn't do anything to deserve it. It's like, no, they kind of did. Like, at worst, they aren't doing their job well. Like, at best, they're just not doing their job well. At worst, they're being openly malicious, trying to make a false narrative to demonize people they don't like, a la Gamergate 2. And I'm not going to, like, Gamergate 2 is a meme. It always was. It's not real, everybody. I know we've used it on the podcast too, but we've only ever used it disparagingly because...
Ironically.
Yeah, it's a stupid thing. It's not real. It can't hurt you. No, it's just... There's this thing where we are constantly getting more and more into... And it's been happening for years, right? Like, the whole, like... again, we saw it before with... actually, unironically, around Gamergate 1... And the post that, you know, not disparaging me too, actually getting sex crims to pay the piper is kind of important. so that, weirdly, you know, I'm not going to decry all things leftist. I know, right? Because it's not an all things leftist sort of issue. But we kind of like get more and more into our like shells. Like everybody's got their echo chamber. Right. We're a little echo chambery with one another here. That's fine. We have similar thoughts but we also disagree. But we have similar thoughts because that's kind of what brings us together as friends. We got this whole further and further being online sort of thing. The thing that I'm drawing from in a lot of places here, it's talked about where it's like, you know, there's very much like the QAnon cult, because QAnon is a cult, everybody. If you're a member of it, I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you, but you're in a cult. They literally use cult tactics to isolate you from your friends and family. But it's not like QAnon's the only one. We talk about cancel culture. Cancel culture is purposely isolating individuals that you don't like to make their lives worse. That effectively maybe you're not trying to actually get them to kill themselves, but you're definitely trying to kill their online presence. Because they disagree with you. Nothing more. We've got all kinds of things news media is going where they're online. Our fucking politicians are going online. You don't have to go anywhere but to X to find out what's going on in the world right now. At least, by and large, what you're supposed to know. And getting further and further away from being real life friends, like Dylan and I have to schedule friend time together.
It's hard as an adult. We're not going to pretend it isn't.
I recommend it, though. Like,
it's worth it. Like, you know, in, you know, before people think that I'm just, like, crying foul or here or whatever, like, we got studies done by, like, the Washington Post, and maybe you think that they're a leftist shill organization, but, like, they do real studies. Pretending they don't because you don't like them is, again, part of the cult mentality of isolation. like, I don't like everything that I see in polls. That doesn't mean they're trying to lie to me. They could be, but, like, just going into it with that mentality is an absolute falsehood. You're wrong for doing that. Like, we talked about this on several episodes ago. Like, you're wrong for going to an argument with bad faith. Like, if you believe the people that are, you know, if you arbitrarily believe because they're an other that they're wrong before they've even started their argument, then you're the bad guy. But yeah, like, you know, and I'm not going to decry anybody for being virgins. That's their choice. Yeah, but, like, the, you know, young male virginity is on the rise. You know, when, you know, people who, the percent of teens who go out with friends declining. You know, the happiness scale continues to decline. You know, it all comes around to the rise of smartphones. And I'm not decrying smartphones. Smartphones are important, actually. Our world now revolves around it. Like, you can't, like, if you make a website that's not smartphone enabled, you're not getting any traffic on your website, period. It's just not going to happen. In fact, it's usually by default in any sort of website generator.
Yeah, and a lot of sites, they look like crippled on the fucking PC.
Right.
Like, I usually only boot up my PC to do this show and also to work, right?
Right.
But, like, I'm not browsing fun sites at work. But, like, I remember, like, when I first laid my eyes upon, it was during my long hiatus from Facebook, but I remember watching Destiny pull up Facebook on a computer, and I'm like, what the fuck? And it's like, it was like Twitter. It's like a single column. Like, it looks mm-hmm. like it's meant to fit on a phone, but it feels unnatural stretched onto a big screen. And it's like Twitter is now when you don't have TweetDeck, right? And it's like, oh.
I removed TikTok from my phone because, you know, it's a trap. Yeah, I will sink hours and hours into it.
It's very distracting.
And but, like, so whenever anybody sends me a TikTok, I have to look at it on my computer. And TikTok clearly is not intended for computer.
Yeah. I think their desktop app is a little bit better than, say, Facebook, right?
But, oh, of course.
It's a low bar.
Yeah, no. When the bar is at the floor, clearing it is too easy. But yeah, like, and so yeah, we've got a lot of, like, in, you know, you probably, like, if you're listening to our show, almost certainly you've heard of the male loneliness epidemic. That's a real thing. The female loneliness epidemic is coming right around the corner. The tendrils of it are already reaching young women already. Because we have this, like, culture of, oh, red flags are, or give me the ick. So if I get the ick from this person, I'm not going to, you know, kind of look inward and see why. Because some people truly deserve the ick, as it were. Right? Like, some people are just fucking creepy. But, like, oftentimes, they do a behavior you don't like. Or maybe they have a voice, you know, that you don't like. And suddenly that's enough for the ick. And so you're going to entirely other this other human being because you just have a weird bad vibe that could just be you ate something funny for lunch. Right. And so, like, it's just, and, you know, we're getting further and further isolated and further online. And that's allowing us to enter, like, this, you know, the thing that's happening right now, Grums versus, like, the left. I'm just going to call it the left because it's easier. When I say left, in this case, I do mean the, like, games journalism as a whole, like, professional games journalism as a whole is pretty left. So they're going to be Grums versus the left in this case. And, like, Grums is not really that good of a guy based off of the things that he said and the things that he's done. He's not the worst person, by all means, no. But like, games journalism will make shit up about him. Like, we're talking about it, like, you know, the him being a, you know, a deadbeat dad who doesn't pay child support. That's just made up bullshit that gets run rampant.
and people who don't, you know, in circles where people don't like him, it's like, there are plenty of things to criticize Grumps for. His fucking Ember game, for instance.
Right, and it's like, these bloggers, right, they'll run the story like, hey, he's a deadbeat dad, and then, like, when presented with evidence that it's not true, it's like, oh, I'm not a journalist, I don't need to correct myself, that's on you. It's like, what? Like,
no, I don't have to correct you. Actually,
that's what side-scrollers was doing when fucking Nick Colangelo went on and he criticized them. It's like, you have a responsibility. Like, I know journalistic integrity should only apply to journalists, apparently, right? But it's like, if you're regurgitating the news and commentating on the news, like, you have, like, somewhat of an obligation to correct yourself if new information arises, right? Otherwise, the words you put out, like, they'll come back to haunt you, or you will be responsible for someone stumbling upon your thing later and getting an out of date version of events, right?
Well, right, like what happened to Deadspin the second time? First time was the stick to sports, where they fired off most of their staff. The staff quit. I don't actually remember who left on purpose, like whether they were fired or they quit, but. That's what happened to Deadspin the first time. They wanted to do politics because they wanted to be political journalists or whatever, but, you know, they were working for a sports website. And then they did the whole thing where they, you know, there was a kid in red and blackface because I think it was a Braves kid at the Braves. And they got a side picture where it looked like the kid was in blackface.
I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they got sued into the dirt for that, and somebody bought them up because they just had to declare bankruptcy. Because, you know, they printed a lie and stuck by their lie. instead of printing a retraction for being like, oh, because all they had to be was like, oh, new information has come to light. We've made a mistake. And maybe they'd have to pay some reparations, but it wouldn't have been, we're shutting down our website, reparations.
Right.
That's the thing that, you know, a lot of the activist bloggers, a lot of the activist journalists don't seem to get. It is like, every time they put out, especially knowingly put out lies or half-truths, that's the risk that their company is taking. That's why these jobs are under fire right now, under, like, they're shrinking, because these companies can't afford to be like Deadspin. Deadspin went under. Like, Kotaku can't, like, if Kotaku prints a Mark, like, you know, a made-up picture, like an AI-generated picture of Mark Kern in a wife beater, literally beating his ex-wife, I guess. I assume ex-wife. I'm making a judgment here. Don't know his personal history. And they ran with that. And then they refused to retract it, being like, oh, we were unaware that this was an AI-generated photo. And, you know, if they stuck with it, like, no, Mark Kern is such a bad guy. Like, and then Mark Kern sues the shit out of them, which he rightfully should at that point. Then, you know, like, that's the end of Kotaku. And, you know, maybe that's a good thing, maybe it's not, but, like, I'm not here to judge that. I will probably, like, personally, I will dance a merry little jig if they go under. But, like, I can also be wrong for doing that. I don't think the individuals working there necessarily deserve to lose their jobs. There's definitely, like, a further and further divide, specifically around, like, the DEI. The DEI, or whatever word we're going to end up using it for it. But, like, there are a lot of people who are saying, you know, you're wrong to use it. And so much so that they put one of my favorite games, the only visual novel that I truly ever played, Valhalla, under their crosshairs to be like, it has bisexual undertones. It's like, or like, yeah, that the only plot point that is that the character I play as had a girlfriend and she's also a woman in the past. Like, she is currently a woman. She had a girlfriend in the past. That relationship colors her life.
Let me elaborate on that. Not the plot details, but the what you're talking about. So
yeah, because that pisses me off that they're gonna come at my games for no reason, functionally.
There are people I refer to them as Grums Orbiters. I think that's easier to
the Grums Orbiters.
Yeah, because we don't have a convenient word for them, like SJW or what have you, right?
I like Grummite because it sounds vaguely derogatory, but...
Hey, let's go. I love Grummite as well.
But Grum's Orbiters is...
It's almost like I coined it.
But Grum's Orbiters is the more fair one that we should probably use.
Well, whatever word you want to use, there are people out there orbiting Grummites, as it were, right? And these people, right, they started copying Cabrutus. Now, I have some respect for Cabrutus because he has some restraint, right? And he really started something big. But, like, there are a bunch of copycats out there who are putting together, like, Google spreadsheets that are shared widely online, or they're putting together websites and shit, and it's just not with the same scrutiny. And it's one of these lists that listed Valhalla, the visual novel, as leftist propaganda for featuring gays. Like, that's it. Like,
right.
That's a great visual novel. There's a lot going for it. And it gives me Satanic Panic vibes. Hearing people just throw out games for including a minority or including a sexual minority, right? And it's like, that's too far, right?
Right.
It's like, it's so frustrating to me, right? Because I agree a lot oftentimes with the gamers, right? Like, I often will side with the gamers over the bloggers because they're typically right. And the bloggers are often wrong. However,
almost exclusively wrong.
Right. But I don't want to be lumped together with them because there are so many ways that we differ, such as the visual novel Valhalla. I think that's a great visual novel. Everyone should read it. It's a fucking fantastic cyberpunk bartending action game. I think everyone should try it. It's great. But, like, just canceling a game because it's got a gay person in it happens to be you, the player.
I despise that kind of rhetoric.
It's like, it's dumb.
Yeah, it doesn't serve any purpose to cancel the game because... Also, the game's been out since, like, 2017, I think.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of reasons to tell people not to buy, say, Forspoken or Dustborn, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you could argue it is the inclusion of DEI elements, which technically also including minorities. That could be construed as a DEI addition, right? But, like, the fact that the game contains these diverse people isn't the problem. The problem is every fucking thing else, right?
Right.
Like, Forspoken has an unlikable protagonist that is a thief and a stereotype and says a bunch of cringy shit, right? And Dustborn is just full of unlikable characters. Every single character is unlikable. They don't learn anything. They don't grow. They don't change.
And the main character is absolutely a terrible human being.
And the game thinks they did something by right. the end of it. And it's like, no, all you did was torture your audience, which is funny. And it's like, yeah, get your consumer advocacy groups together. Tell people to avoid those games on those merits. That's fine. Those games should be avoided because they're shit. But, like, Valhalla's fine.
Yeah.
And it's telling that they would put a game like that on their list. I look forward to seeing Final Fantasy 16 on the list as well. For all the reasons
gay romance.
There is a gay romance. It's not the main character, but it's a major character who joins your party. So it's like, I mean,
yeah,
it's an important character.
Yeah, but like, and if they don't put it on there, then clearly they're just reaching at that point, right? Like,
right.
If like they're playing the, oh, well, I happen to like this game because the people who are putting Valhalla on the list probably have never played it, never watched anything about it other than, you know, maybe a little bit of gameplay just to double check that, yes, you are a bisexual person, the character you play as. But, like, you don't romance anybody in the visual novel, do you? Like, I don't think there's a romance option. Like,
they're
you
really,
could certainly flirt
no,
with
yeah.
some people, but, like, the character you're playing as, she's not, like, fully over her last relationship. She's not looking for that sort of thing.
It's kind of a major plot point of the story.
Yeah. So, like, I
have another example.
It bothers me.
Take, for example, the recent remaster, Lollipop Chainsaw Repop, right?
Right.
So, this is a remaster that changes almost nothing, I mean, except upscales it, right? It's basically a re-release, but with some extra shit. So, it's a remaster because of that. But if it wasn't for the extra shit they added, like what they added was a mode that tones down the gore that is totally optional. Mm-hmm. Because it's very gory, and so people aren't into that, right? And it makes it all comic book like fun and happy. But it's otherwise the same fucking game, right? And they went out of their way to say, yeah, we didn't change the script or the scenario or anything like that, and there's no de novo, no censorship. And when they say censorship, they're talking about the gore, but, you know, you could take it to mean both in this case, gore and content. But I saw one of those grumites on fucking Twitter earlier bitching about how the 2012 version on PS3, when you sharply rotate the camera, her boobs do a little jiggle. And that doesn't happen on the new one. That's just a change in physics. Like, yeah. That doesn't feel like an intentional censoring, because, like, it's not very exaggerated what was going on in the original game. Like, yeah, they jiggle a little bit, but it's like, it's very minor, right?
And
in the new version, the camera doesn't do anything with physics. Like,
yeah,
it's almost like a bug fix, I feel like. Honestly, an intentional move.
Well, it's like when things had to be tied to frame rate, back when they had to be. Just because that's the way that the games were programmed. Like, they used the frame rate as a timing system, right? Because, you know, making games has never been, like, an exact science.
Right.
And so they're just doing their best. Like, a lot of, like, in the 90s and 80s, they were just doing their best. Guys in their basement who were making the games for us were doing their best. So, you know, sometimes it just didn't come out perfectly, and you know, you get physics tied to the camera or some shit, right?
Like, but it's the most minor shit, and I worry that these fucking Grums Orbiters are gonna, like, start a cringy petition about it to get the devs to fix it, or put them on their stupid list to say, hey, don't buy this game. And it's like,
and
this is nothing. Like, right. You're bitching about nothing.
Well, so that's actually part of the whole, like, isolation tactic, right? You know, I'm not saying the Grumites are in a cult, but, like, every time we get something like this, there are cult tactics that come up, because it's just easy. It happens organically oftentimes. Mm.
Yeah. So,
yeah, real go quick, ahead. No,
I mentioned before we went live, or started recording, rather, that there was some fans that had some problems. I wanted to actually do a deeper look into why.
Okay.
It turns out the PC version wasn't a great port. That's what people have a problem with.
That I buy.
That might be why the boobs don't jiggle when they turn the camera.
Well, yeah, from what I understand, it just seems like there's like a settings mismatch, and you can't really change them yet. So it's something they can fix, it sounds like.
I mean,
consider,
but, like, just scrolling down, I can still see her in, like, a string bikini, seashell bikini. They didn't get rid of any of that.
Of course they didn't.
So
that's no, they went out of their way to make sure as much fan service was still on the table as possible.
Yeah, and also consider that this game was not on PC previously, so this is the first time it's hit PC.
Yeah,
which is a really good reason to do a remaster, I think, because now it's forever. Whereas the PS3, notoriously difficult to emulate, really a generation full of you know, to be lost media. So I'm glad to see stuff from that era get remade, just because now that they've remade it, it's forever. If they didn't, well, you'd need a PS3 to play it, or right, PS3 emulation needs to get a new breakthrough.
The vast majority of the game is still intact, and everything that you should care about in the game is intact. Is it perfect? No. But they probably had to make some concessions to make it work. Honestly. Like, without, like, I'm not going to bat for them, or, like, just because. I haven't seen much about the game, but I have seen, like, but it's getting it from both sides, or it's going to, if the Grumites are going to do their thing, right? Like, because if they do their thing, then it'll get it from both sides, because it's already getting it, it's getting ignored by many journalists, just that it exists at all. Because, like, looking at the Metacritic, it's a big, fat empty. It's not empty, but you know what I mean. Like, a lot of the major players that should be reviewing this are not. But they're writing other articles about it, so IGN's still making sure they're getting their lollipop chainsaw clicks.
Uh-huh. They just won't review it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, so, they'll just refer to their old review, which is a 5 out of 10, which is mean.
Well,
like, you gonna tell me this game's worse than Dustborn? I don't think so.
Well, I mean, hey, yeah, hey, no. Look, the people reviewing it back then might have actually had some integrity, okay?
Well, I figure, because I think for anyone who's ever played Lollipop Chainsaw, the game is supposed to be a parody of everything it represents.
Right.
It is not meant to be taken seriously. It's a joke. Like, she literally kills a school, I think it's a school bus full of children in one of the opening levels, like, shots, where she kicks a gate open and it blows up the fucking school bus, and she doesn't even think twice about it. She's like, oh, I'm gonna cut these zombies' heads off. It's a fucking joke game. And I think people reviewing it, especially back then, probably took it a little too seriously. Because I feel like that's something that the game's reviewers have always done, is take things a little too seriously.
They did the same thing to Metal Wolf Chaos. Took it too seriously.
I would look at... Mm-hmm. If I wanted to get a review that I trust, I'd look up the Game Informer review of that time frame. Because I think Game Informer was the last bastion of legacy games media. That, you know, actually did their job.
Yeah.
And unfortunate that they're the ones that go under, not the ones that don't do their job. But, you know, whatever.
You know, speaking of doing jobs, and my meta point earlier about, you know, correcting records and, you know, stuff on that when new information arises. I feel like we probably should spend a little bit of time talking about Dr. Disrespect.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
I think
I got
so.
I got the scoop. It's kind of short, right? So last time we talked about Dr. Disrespect, we even dedicated the episode title to him because it was kind of funny, right?
It's still funny.
It's still funny, right? But this dude got called out. TLDR. We had an episode on this. Go find it. But TLDR. Somebody who used to work at Twitch broke their silence and revealed the reason why Dr. Disrespect got banned was for inappropriate messages to a minor. That's disgusting. What the fuck? And then everybody turned against him, as they should. Dr. Disrespect then admitted to it in a big, long tweet that he edited a couple times, which was kind of suspicious. But he was like, yeah. Yeah, there were inappropriate messages that were sent to a minor. Like, that is absolutely what happened. But, you know, it was a long confession. I think we went over it in detail in that episode.
We did.
That tweet got deleted, by the way. So
well, probably
he went
at
on,
the behest of his lawyers.
Maybe. He went on a really long vacation. I think he was gone for like a month and a half or something. He's back now. He's come back, and he has streamed since. And I did not expect the twists and turns. That were to come. So basically, he has addressed the controversy further on his live stream, right?
Oh, that's good.
Meaning you have to go watch what he said to see his, he didn't write it down.
Well,
but
you know,
he spoke
whatever.
It aloud. I will give you the paraphrase, TLDR. So there were inappropriate messages to a minor. However, they weren't sexual. And he insists, full stop, they were not sexual at all. They were just inappropriate, like dark humor, right? That's not the same fucking thing. He said all he said in his confession was inappropriate. And it was
That's
the
true.
Guy formerly from Twitch who insinuated that he was a pedophile.
Now,
right?
is this the same guy that keeps using or had been using? Yeah, because he did it a couple times. I watched a video talking about who, if this is who I think it is, the one that was using his this as. Way to drum up business for his comedy shows?
The very same, yes.
Oh, okay. So that asshole. Because that guy is a piece of shit regardless.
He's Cody or whatever.
Regardless of the, you know, anything else. Even, like, if especially if this was, you know, sexual messages to a minor and him using it like that, that would have been disgusting. Like,
yeah, Cody shouldn't have a platform anymore. I think just because he insinuated that and that he wanted people to believe that that was acceptable for him to paywall. Or well, effectively paywall. That's disgusting.
Yeah,
yeah.
Regardless of the Dr. Disrespect situation at all, like putting that aside, this Cody guy, fucking.
Were
scumbag.
I Dr. Disrespect, I would be seeking legal action on Cody.
That is,
I would love to see him sued.
Basically, that is the implication. I wish I bookmarked some of the tweets I saw, but if I scroll up in our planning chat, I can find what I actually said.
Oh, good.
Let's see here.
Because I would be, like, were I Dr. Disrespect, I would be taking him to task. For
He didn't say he wasn't.
Because, like, this is, like, Cody has effectively ruined so much of Dr. Disrespect's career.
Yeah, and it's, like, provably damaging. So, it seems that the strategy here by Dr. Disrespect, the 4D chess, as it were, is he admitted to what happened and used the word inappropriate, but never said anything about it being sexual. Everyone else, journalists, bloggers, that one dude that we referred to, they all did the same. They all said, you know, it was sexual. He's a pedophile. The memes, the jokes, the discourse kind of snowballed out of control from there. And every single blog, every single journalist, and that one particular guy that first blew the whistle are now viable targets for his lawyers to send lawsuits because this whole, it wasn't sexual at all. Like, apparently that's already been proven in court. And right. That is the reason why Twitch settled with him, because they reviewed the messages in court and determined that it wasn't sexual.
Yeah. Somebody had a bone to pick with Dr. Disrespect at Twitch and jumped the gun, I think, by...
It was his manager. So yeah. What Dr. Disrespect said further in his stream was that he had some kind of Twitch manager that represented Twitch for him and his brand. And this guy didn't like him and really wanted to eliminate him. And he was monitoring Dr. Disrespect's whispers and basically took them out of context, sent them to some executive who was on vacation and away from his computer, and said, hey, look at these out of context screenshots. He's doing bad. And he was like, all right, fucking ban him, you know, without the necessary oversight and due diligence and due care that he should have been awarded, which is why he won big in court already. So now.
Yeah. Well, Twitch is notorious for being full of activists that are not good at literally work.
And it's going to cost Amazon a lot of money. And I'm really excited to see where it goes. I mean, I don't regret the things that I said. You know, I was led to believe that he committed the actions of a pedophile, right?
No, hold on. I honestly don't even think anyone should feel bad. Because I think one of the things that he said himself can be spun right back on him, Dr. Disrespect, that is. When he talked about Cody and these other journalists, he said that you guys know full well that the internet is black and white. So when you say this shit, they're going to take it one way. And that's the way that they want to take it, right? So then why the fuck would he write a post that he quote unquote was trying to bait people with? Oh, I never said it was sexual. I only said inappropriate. It's like, go fuck yourself. You knew how they were going to take it. You just fucking admitted you knew how they were going to take it. You did this to yourself, you dumbass.
It was a dumb fucking thing for him to do. And I'm not going to apologize.
And obviously he's not a pedophile. Yeah. Like we could argue, you know, I mean, the court saw it, whatever. There's no evidence to say that he was a pedophile. Right. Sure. But he's still a fucking
Well,
idiot.
I don't think he's an idiot. I think he did this on purpose. I think Dr. Disrespect...
Well, he did!
And I'm wondering if there are some people that distanced themselves from him that were in on it that will be coming back.
I don't... Not that we've seen. A lot of them have posted videos saying, like, nah, we ain't...
Have they posted videos since he's come back?
I think Nick Merckx even said that he still thinks of him as a pedophile. I think it might have been one of the other guys.
I mean,
one of the guys that was in his
group. Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, look. If that's the case, that's the case. Like, neither.
And it's like I'm not willing to apologize or like say that, you know, I was absolutely wrong until I see the messages. Like, I'm willing to accept that the jokes were inappropriate, but they weren't sexual, right?
Absolutely.
But it's still a 40-year-old man speaking inappropriately with a minor. That's still uncomfortable. But it's not the same crime, I will admit. No. Right? And I'd be happy to, like, I don't know, like, take it back or apologize if I could read what they actually fucking were. But until then, like, I don't know any better. Like, seems like a pretty safe assumption.
He would have worded his post better if he actually cared to, like, clear the air. It's basically where I'm at.
But, you know, he might be getting the bag with all those lawsuits. So, like, we'll see.
Yeah. You know what? If it's to make bag and run.
That may literally be all it is.
It doesn't hurt me any. I was never really a fan. I never watched him. I just think that, like, looking at it and analyzing what he said and what he claimed to have said. And I'm just sitting here thinking, like, well, you just admitted that you knew how this would be taken. Inadvertently, but you did just admit to that. That's kind of dumb, don't you think? Like, yeah.
I mean, it is, but at the same time, like, I can I just bring interest. It up now
because I think it's in the best interest of our integrity to point out that, you know, we joked about it when we were talking about when it was breaking news. And turns out wasn't sexual, proven in the court of law, allegedly. Mm-hmm. And it's like, damn, okay. Well, half those jokes don't land anymore.
Yeah.
But I still think he kind of fucked that up.
I think he did. Well, again, I think he did it on purpose. I'm not defending Doc here or anything. But, like, he obviously couldn't say, hey, you know, in, like, just off the cuff, hey, you know, those messages, you know, it wasn't said, like, here are the messages. He can't off the cuff just drop them or anything.
Right.
So, like, he probably, like, part of that vacation was probably talking to his lawyers to be like, what can I say? What can I say? Things like that.
Yeah.
Like, because apparently the man is a lot smarter than everybody that's up against him. Because they're, you know, they're willing to just say fucking whatever while he's, you know, is very careful about what he's saying. And, you know, it, Dr. Disrespect gonna be getting the bag.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no way around it at this point. At least one of these companies is going to be paying Big Bunny to not go to real court over this.
So, you know, premature congratulations to the doc for the bag. Hope it pays off because damn, what a gamble that was. I would not have done that.
I think his streaming career is pretty much in the toilet at this point.
People are still willing to watch him. We're not sure if their bots are real. However, he started playing Deadlock, and the first match that he played, everyone figured out he was there, and they all fucking quit on him, all his teammates.
People have been pointing it out, too. He picked, apparently, the 16-year-old girl character, the only
roster.
I mean, he's doing that just to, you know, thumb his nose at him.
I could believe that. That's I could believe that, yeah, in fairness.
There's no way that can't be a meme.
I also can't confirm I haven't played Deadlock, for the record. But that's
what you know, saying. Deadlock, the game that hasn't released yet and kicked the shit out of Concord.
I still believe, and I, you know what, you guys can call me jaded. I'm willing to take that all. But I still think that Deadlock's only really succeeding because it's got Valve's name slapped.
Probably.
I mean, maybe. I mean, it might also be a good game, in fairness, too.
I've touched it a little bit. It's not... It doesn't
it's
feel
no Overwatch?
Good. I don't know. But, I mean, like, even Overwatch didn't feel great. It felt okay. And it had some moments where it was, like, really fun to play. But I don't know. I think the genre might have just stagnated, and I'm not entirely certain that I see it anymore.
And to be clear, like, while you could argue it's a hero shooter, it looks like a MOBA. It's got a MOBA map.
It's got a little bit of that going on, too. Yeah.
It's like a hybrid. It's like Smite, I guess. Except first person instead of third
it's
person,
kinda like,
or
no, it's
still
third person.
Okay.
It's like Smite if all of the characters' kits were more in line with like third person shooters. So less in the like League of Legends department and more in the Team Fortress 2 department, I guess.
But yeah, man, that's my whole agenda. I don't have anything else actually.
Yeah, no, I think you know my point across the board is like try to. You know, I've said it, you know, previously on the show, even, you know, try to give the other people the benefit of the doubt. Like, they're human beings, too. They're working with what they've got. Yeah, some of them are not going to be saying things that you agree with. Some of them are going to be saying things that they know are wrong. But, like, if you come to the table, assuming that everybody else is wrong but you, you're just going to wind up by yourself.
Yeah, if you take nothing else away from this episode, just know... The bloggers are almost always wrong. However, sometimes the gamers try to invoke Satanic Panic 2, and I'm not for that. I usually agree with the gamers on a lot of shit, but it's like, it is not a monolith.
No.
It is not in any way a fucking monolith, and that, you know, it sucks to get lumped in together. That's what the journalists do that on purpose, the bloggers. They lump all the gamers together like we're one monolithic opinion to make us all look bad. Mm-hmm. And, they'll take our worst actors, or they'll invent them with sock puppets if we don't exist, to prove their point. And it's really fucking annoying.
Right. That's why, you know, every time there's a, you know, Hollywood flop, somehow the people who didn't watch it, you know, are a bunch of racist and bigoted trolls, right? But, you know, if they made a product that people were willing to watch, this wouldn't be an issue. Because, like, you know, The Acolyte came out recently. That's the new one. And people are still making videos. You know, both people who are, you know, bloggers and both people who are, you know, YouTubers who have an axe to grind with the bloggers are still making videos about how it's, you know, either the best show ever that only got canceled to appease the racists and bigots, you know, Disney, how could you betray us like that? Or, you know, haha, look at these losers who are screeching on the internet. But, like, both of those groups are benefiting off your clicks. It should be a dead topic. The show was canceled. Their petition to get it back in line didn't pan out because there are dozens of us, I'm not one of them, who, you know, watched The Acolyte and loved it. Like, this phantom audience, Schrodinger's audience is how I've heard it. You know, either they're the problem, like, the audience can't want to watch something that isn't appealing. And we keep getting things that are unappealing.
If you want to cherry pick a person who actually watched The Acolyte and liked it, you'll find them. They're out there.
Oh, yeah, sure.
They just don't have good taste.
Right. Well, I mean, and there are attributes to a product that are good. Like, more diverse casting isn't inherently a bad thing. I will say that until my dying breath. Like, more diversity is not a bad thing in its own merit. It's bad when it's
pandering.
Pandering, performative, you know, done to fulfill an agenda. But it's not bad by itself. Like, you know, the U.S., most of the people listening to us are from the U.S. We live in a diverse place. Like, almost certainly every single one of you knows people who don't look like you. If you only know people who look like you, get out of the hole, man. Get out of the bunker.
Mm-hmm.
There's no fallout.
yeah. Though I would like to end the show on one positive note.
Yeah.
So today is September the 12th in the year of our Lord 2024. Just yesterday was a major anniversary. On September 11th, 2003, we saw the release of Drakengard 1, the start of the Dragon Dragon franchise. So happy 21st anniversary to Drakengard. Clearly the most important thing that ever happened on September 11th. I love that franchise. It's easily number two in my heart, second only to Armored Core.
I saw that tweet.
Dylan, I hate to break it to you. There was something else that happened on 9/11.
There was?
yeah. cutting the show with that actually would probably be just like, that's the end of the show. There was something else that happened.
Unfortunately, we're not that funny, so we'll give a real outro. This has been the Mel and Menzi Podcast, episode 94. You can catch me at shitposter.world/dylon. Rick's here with us as well at shitposter.world/skooma_dealer. Victim's been streaming. He was playing Genshin Impact the other day. I'm sure you'll tell us about it soon. I know that
he's
got to
tell us about Zenless Zone Zero.
That too. But like, and, there's a new update for Genshin, and let him get through it. But that's
Zenless got a new character, and she fucks.
Oh my god, she
does. She fucks.
That trailer is everything you need to know. But you can catch Victim at twitch.tv/evictimofgaming. And this is a Value for Variety production. We don't have any boosts to read today, and that's fine. But your support is greatly welcomed. If you want to use Value for Value in the podcasting space, make sure you're on a modern podcasting app. You can get a big old list of them from newpodcastapps.com. My favorite is fountain.fm. But if you got a hard on for free and open source software, podverse.org has got you covered. See you all next time.